You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
The world was at war. The entire world was at war. It's the Second World War, not local wars, not a state war, not a country war. The entire world was at war. And Hitler and Nazi Germany was coming down and taking over country after country after country. And the United Kingdom, as we know it today in Europe, was being overtaken by Nazi Germany. And at that moment in time, they were crying out for America to come get involved. They would fly back and forth and say, America, get involved. We wouldn't get involved. But finally, one day we said we would. Pearl Harbor takes place. And we begin to get involved. And we come to the rescue of Europe and with our allies and stop the world and save Europe as we know it. I'm Greg Lancaster, and John Ramos is joining us here today.
Hello.
And so I want to take you back to that time so we can remember where we came from. That this was a war, the world was at war and everything was upside down. Europe as you know it today, and you hear about the European Union today and you hear about them saying that they want to, you know, have trade policies with America and they're being, you know, kind of not nice to America, but we just had the Brexit where the United Kingdom, you know, England pulled out of the European Union. Well, understand this. There was a day that there was no Europe. It was being overtaken by Germany. And it was just a very tragic time. And one country after another was being overtaken in war. And in Europe, as we know it, or even Europe, but even England as we know it, they were destroying companies and manufacturing and just great death was happening across the face of the earth. Pearl Harbor happened, you know, when they bombed, you know, our base, you know, in Pearl Harbor. But also they began to cry out for us to be able to get involved. And so we got involved with the allies and Americans. We sent our sons, we sent our fathers, we sent our grandfathers, we sent our daughters to go to the world to rescue the world from this great catastrophe that was taking place to be able to end this hegemony, this attempt to take over the whole world. And so when you look back today on history and see what's happening today, you think, have you forgotten what happened last time y'all embraced communism, time you embraced socialism? So the people of America went with our allies to be able to defeat Hitler and Nazi Germany, and we were successful. But in that, everybody was starving and hungry. They destroyed all the stores. Nobody had a chance to farm. And all the manufacturing was destroyed, and America was the only one that still we had the ability. Not only did we go rescue everyone, but we actually had the food and the manufacturing to be able to supply everyone. And what happened was Secretary of State Marshall, he actually goes before Congress, and he presents called the Marshall Plan. And what he was saying was, and the Marshall Plan was, we're the only ones that actually can help people out. Let's go back and look at Secretary Marshall speaking to Congress. As he's talking to them, World War II has come to an end. People are starving. People are hungry. There's no way to feed themselves. Europe would not be here without the Marshall Plan. But look what America did during this time of recovery from the great tragedy of World War II. Take a look.
Never before has one nation carried a greater responsibility for the fate of others in time of peace. Reduced to its simplest form, the bulky Paris report meant that America must again send ammunition overseas. Ammunition for peace, in the form of food, machinery, skills, and dollars. Figures quoted reached $17 billion. Americans heard that until this long-range plan goes into action, stopgap aid was needed. Austria, Italy, and France were declared to be in desperate straits by Secretary Marshall.
In order to meet this emergency, I recommend that you give immediate and urgent consideration to a bill authorizing the appropriation of sufficient funds to provide the supplies necessary to permit the people of these countries to continue to eat, to work, and to survive the winter.
Before Christmas, more than $500 million were made available, and the President affixed his signature to an interim aid authorization bill.
We have given much aid to the impoverished peoples of Europe on simple humanitarian grounds. But as a countermeasure against the attempt by the Soviet Union to communize Europe, the American people saw the necessity for cooperating with the non-communist countries in a comprehensive, bipartisan European recovery program passed by Congress and here being signed by President Truman. This program, known also as the Marshall Plan, is designed to afford eligible nations that margin of help in credit and materials which they need to bring their overall economy back to health. Secretary of State Marshall, in placing the plan before Congress, stated,
"Why must the United States carry so great a load in helping Europe? The answer is simple. The United States is the only country in the world today which has the economic power and productivity to furnish the needed assistance. The 6 1/8 billion proposed for the first 15 months is less than a single month's charge of the war. To be quite clear, this unprecedented endeavor of the new world to help the old is neither sure nor easy. It is a calculated risk. It is a difficult program. And you know far better than I do the political difficulties involved in this program. But there's no doubt whatever in my mind that if we decide to do this thing, we can do it successfully. And there's also no doubt in my mind that the whole world hangs in the balance as to what it is to be."
The whole world weighs in the balance, deciding what it's going to be. Understand this. Not only did your forefathers in America, go and give our lives, people died and were wounded on the battlefield to be able to rescue Europe, to rescue Hungary, to rescue, you know, over and over and over again, all the different countries that were being taken over by Germany at that particular time. But now, through the Marshall Plan, because everybody's starving now, everybody's starving. You have communism still trying to come in and to take control of people. And so we partner with countries who were not communists, to be able to help the people so they could be free, because it was socialism and communism that began to cause all this oppression on people. So Secretary of State George Marshall said specifically, why would we be the ones, America, to be able to go out and give all this food to Europe and to the world? And people in Europe, listen, this is, we care about you. This is what America's known for doing. And this is what he said. The United States is only country in the world which has the economic power and the productivity to furnish the need and assistance. We were the only country that was able to go out there and defend the world from evil dictators and tyrants like Hitler and communism, and now we're the only one, that, like the breadbasket of the world, going to bring food out there. And top that off, after all that pain in the world, the Soviet Union, officially known as the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic, let me say it again, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic, the USSR, was beginning trying to take over and do the very same thing. Think about it. The whole world just went through war. Everything's turned upside down. America's having to feed the world because it was everybody's places to be able to have food was being destroyed. The manufacturing was destroyed. The agriculture was destroyed. And we're feeding folks around the world through the Marshall Plan. And the Soviet Union tries to take over people and take over and to control them. And they went literally, the USSR, the Soviet Union, listen, this is who they were. The Union of Soviet Socialists. The Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. It was the socialists trying to take over. It was a National Socialist Party. And so that's the USSR. And they came in so much so they took Germany and they built a wall. And you're seeing it right here, a wall right in the middle of Germany. And they split Germany between Eastern Communist Germany and Western Free Germany. They just split it right in half with a wall. And you think about that, you know, it's much like North Korea today. When you think about Korea, there's only one Korea. But in the Korean War, they stopped at a particular area. And so North Korea and Russia set that leader in, the family in, the Kim Jong-un family, to be the dictator over those people, the family Amazing. Of the Koreans. And so they put a wall right in the middle of your, like, into your living room. So you have North Korea and South Korea. Well, they had they have landmines there, they have walls there, fences, and they shoot you if you try to cross over. It happens right now, even this week probably. Well, that was what's happening right there in Germany. And you think about it, you know, communism and Marxism, which is the fruit of socialism, it begins to go that way. When you turn away from God, you embrace government as God. What happens? They have to build walls to keep their people in, and they have to threaten them with their lives to be able to keep a people in there. When you got to build walls to keep your people in, something ain't right in the way you're running your country. So that's what was going on. So we were actually America's trying to help the world recover, and Russia, well, not Russia, but the Soviet Union was trying to be tyrannical leadership over them, as a matter of fact. And so we want to find out what's going on. So we remember this. I think about this. Whoever controls the money controls the vision. So whoever controls your economy controls your nation. Socialism is an economic statement. It's saying we want to control the economy. They want to take it over. Communism, Marxism, socialism, that's all about saying we have a vision for the country and we want to take it in a new direction. Freedom, when you control your own money and your own economy, that means you're free. That's the difference in it. And that's why in America only works if it's a nation under God, because we have to have God over us to be able to lead us and direct us, and we have to seek him in the context of that. So, you know, what was happening was Soviet Union was coming and said, we want to control the economies. That's what that is. Is it a matter of an economy? And so in 1961, they built this wall to divide the family. You had some families on one side of the wall, German family, and some of the family, like an aunt or uncles, on the other side of the wall. They wouldn't even see them again. If they tried to go over to visit them, they would shoot them and kill them. It was barbed wire. It was just terrible things that were going on. In 1962, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. came to that wall, to the Western, to the, not the Western Wall, but the Berlin Wall there, and he saw it, and he's fresh. He just, the Civil Rights Act was just signed because of his leadership, you know, in America, and he was just about to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, and he showed up and he said, who would know better about oppression, something like this, when your own people are divided against themselves, than what happened in America? And he's representing how America removed the dividing wall with the Civil Rights Act. Well, right after that, I think it was in 1963, President John F. Kennedy came to the Berlin Wall 1 year later and spoke at the Western Wall, and he's saying that communism was the greatest threat to the world. He was letting everybody know that. And one thing that he said when President Kennedy was speaking there, he said, America is not a perfect country, but we don't have to build walls to keep our people from leaving. That's a big difference. When you have to have walls to keep people from running in your country, that means things are going good in your country. That was in 1963. Well, guess what? The same year, November 22nd, 1963, President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas. That's why people think Russia had something to do with it, because he was confronting Russia and its leadership. But if you were a Christian, you know Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, you wrestle not against communism or socialism, but you don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, principalities. That's a principality that was over the Soviet Union. And so when you had Dr. King go there, when you had President John F. Kennedy go there and confront it, there's a demonic force that comes back your way, a backlash that came back. And literally, he was assassinated in office in 1968. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee, coming out of his hotel. You know, today we see where Russia has come in and interfered with our country and put false advertising up to try to turn us on each other. Well, guess what? More than likely, was happening at the very same time when America was divided over race in the 60s. Soviet Union was all in the middle of that. And not only that, in 1968, it wasn't, but just a couple days later, where the brother of President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert Kennedy, was assassinated in America. It was a tragic time. It was coming against communism and people who wanted to take over the world. So you think about it, a little bit fast forward to June 12, 1987, President Ronald Reagan, he went there to the wall, and Gorbachev was over the Soviet Union at the time, and he said, confronted the Soviet Union, he said, This dividing wall represents, and he talked about all this history that I just talked about, you know, briefed over it. And he talked about it, and then he said, Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And what he's saying is, like, end this captivity of your people. If you really want freedom, let's go back and take a look when President Reagan did that. Take a look.
Behind me stands a wall that encircles the free sectors of this city, part of a vast system of barriers that divides the entire continent of Europe. General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open this gate. Mr. Gorbachev. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
This is so powerful. So the vice president of President Ronald Reagan, President George W. Bush, he became president in 1989. He oversaw the coming down of the wall. He oversaw the coming down of the Soviet Union, where it was ended forever. And that's why President Putin is so upset today, because he wants this back. We don't want that back. Well, President George W. Bush had the right demeanor. God had the right man, the right time to be able to handle. You're looking at George Gorbachev signing the agreement with the President of the United States to be able to end it. It's amazing what's taking place. Let's go back and take a look at that wall finally coming down, like so many declared it to come down. Take a look.
I found myself in a group of people who were applauding. I didn't understand right away why. Then I realized I really was in West Berlin, and West Berliners had come to the border, and they were applauding us. We were all crying and embracing each other. Even now, when I look back, my heart is racing. It was so moving.
Bekannte, die wollen mal besuchen, die warten uns zwei
Stunden.
Nur mal gucken. Ist traumhaft und dann wieder zurück.
Wann?
Nee, heute irgendwann oder also besser gesagt doch heute.
Wahnsinn, Wahnsinn.
Was für toll. Ist toll.
28 Jahre, das ist die Stunde.
Super, ich bin sehr glücklich.
West Berliners arrived from the other direction. They began to demolish the wall in front of the Brandenburg Gate.
There was a common idea. Now we have to get rid of the wall.
Diese Werkzeuge kamen ja aus der Gruppe und
everybody had different reasons.
Jetzt müssen wir die Mauer wegkriegen. Und jeder hat da wahrscheinlich andere.
For me, it was that I had relatives on the other side who couldn't come over.
Man kannte, dass man eben nicht, wie man wollte, zusammenkommen konnte. Oder wenn ich an meine Tante denke.
When I remembered my aunt and how I couldn't see her before she died, it made me so angry. It was liberating to do something against the wall.
Da Kommunismus ist gestorben.
Wer nimmt das mit rüber? Die SED ist tot. Ja, wer da
Ego lebt doch noch.
Ja, Alter. Mama, auf mit so einer Szene.
It was emotional for me, but I must confess that I had in mind not overreacting. The stupidest thing that any president could have done then would have been going over there, danced on the Berlin Wall, and stick his fingers right into the eyes of the Soviet military and of Gorbachev. Now, who knows how they would have had to react.
Next morning, I got a phone call. They told me what had happened. I said, you made the right decision. Because how could you shoot at Germans who walk across the border to meet other Germans on the other side? So the policy had to change.
Across this wall, two worlds had faced each other in arms. Now their enmity was dumped into history. Germany would be reunited. But Europe's revolution against communism was not yet done.
Look at the pain. Look at the pain communism caused. People crying out, communism's finally dead. And people are embracing it today. Well, guess what? President Reagan got to go back to the wall and grab a chisel himself and begin to chisel out a piece of that wall himself. Remember, he said, Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And there he's taking down a piece of the wall. But guess what's at the presidential library today? A piece of the Berlin Wall is located at Ronald Reagan's a library in Simi Valley, California. Isn't that exciting? So you look at it today, and I just want to say this. What you need to tell everyone to watch this program, because there's a reason why we say no to communism, because it's killed. Our fathers died to free us from communism. The Germany, they gave their lives for this. Many people just gave their lives to be free. God's called us to be free people up under him. And so when people are embracing communism, Marxism, socialism, they're telling you, you cannot know about history. So they quit teaching people about history. They don't know about this. They don't teach this in school. You need to share this with your with the people that you know, because they don't know this reality. History majors, people that are teaching history, when they graduate, some of the reports are that they don't even know this kind of history. They have revisionist history. This is real. You're seeing it for yourself. You're seeing Germans cry out. You're seeing the price that it paid. You saw the Marshall Plan. You saw America go. You saw a president that was assassinated. Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated. His brother, Robert Kennedy, was assassinated. It's George H. Bush, not George W. Bush, that handled that transition of them coming down. So when you see Putin, you know, President Putin of Russia raise his head, they're saying he wants another USSR, Soviet Socialist Republic, to exist again. And that's why he's trying to take over those different countries. We as Americans and people are free in the world, you need to stay free. Maybe America won't be there this next time if that's to happen again. We don't want that to happen again. We want to say, you know what, God, you are the Lord of my life. You are over our country. You choose our leaders. We want godly leaders over us that care about us and care about our people, or at least people that are checked by you, God. And so I want to ask you right now that you're finding out, you know, what are about history, what are your comments about the Marshall Plan, about Europe, about what happened with President Reagan, what happened with President John F. Kennedy, with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., with Senator Robert Kennedy, and what's happened? They gave their lives for us to have this kind of freedom. Comment below. Share your thoughts on that. Write to us at friendsatvfnkb.com. And be sure, by the way, to go to iTunes or go to Spotify and subscribe to our podcast and rate it. Give it a 5 so it'll go around the world to more people when you do that. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I just thank you for each and every one that's watching, Lord. I just speak truth over them, Lord God, that they would desire truth. What is the truth? Whatever it is what it is. God, that you would just show them and help them know, God, that this is the reality, that we would not have to repeat a world war situation again. We thank you, Lord, for all those that gave their lives and sacrificed to bring us here today. And God, we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Jesus told us, love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.